Hidden Growth Champions, the podcast. Business news, views, and insights from across the globe.
Welcome, everyone, to Hidden Growth Champions, our podcast series. This is a special edition of our podcast, and I'm really glad we've got Mark in our virtual studio today. And Mark, welcome. Please give us a bit of an introduction onto yourself, and we'll speak a bit more about the kind of exciting work that we're doing together, bringing strategy and capabilities onto the same table.
Awesome. Thanks, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me. So my name is Mark Fitcher. I work as a learning solutions consultant for the Training Room Online, and we specialize in transformation through human capability with a very strong focus on digital for organizations, for institutions in the education sector, and sort of for broader communities.
Great. Well, just a little bit of history, Mark. Actually, the first time we came across your organization and the exciting work that you guys do was probably about a couple of years back. We were working for a major telecommunications company, and they kept on talking about your organization. It took a little bit of a while until I met up with Kirsty, your CEO, and then other members of the team in the mix for a while. And I'm really glad. I think over the last year or so, we had the opportunity of kind of bringing the two capability sets together and the teams working closely together. So I want to talk a little bit about that, but a little bit of perhaps of client context first. So let's talk about the kind of problem we were trying to solve, for which strategy and capabilities, and particularly strategic capabilities, is such a good fit and should be around the same table. Client is a large listed entity, both impacted by climate change, as many organizations around the world are, and most industries. But in a very particular way, we're building a new business. We're building a second core. We're envisioning how their business could not only survive this extraordinary period of time, but in fact, thrive and build a second business as large and as successful as their current core business is. So quite an ambitious drive that these guys were on. And as part of doing work with them, one of the first questions that came up was, so what will this new business look like, this climate-friendly, future-fit organization? What will be different about it? And as we were working through what the strategy would be, quite quickly we came to the realization that essentially what we were describing was a different set of capabilities. This organization, to be successful, will need to do things very differently. So a set of differentiating capabilities came up, and with them came a few essentials. So that's kind of a little bit of the context of how we started talking about capabilities and why they mattered. Contrast. And I remember, Mark, as one of the first things we did together was, in fact, doing a little bit of a retrospective, looking at organizations globally and how they've shifted their set of capabilities, how they brought new capabilities quickly and at scale into the organization. So that's kind of a little bit of the context to this.
And I think that, yeah, if I can pitch in there, so I think because that's actually a nice touch point, sort of the benchmark, in terms of what are other organizations looking at, how they deal with development of capability, particularly in areas where they've not had capabilities because they never had to, you know. So I think the great thing about the case study that we're talking about today is really about one part is almost out of necessity. The other part is also about sort of inquisitiveness and wanting to, you know.
Absolutely. Mark, when we got to the point where we now had a map, we knew which capabilities are going to make a stark difference. One of the things we realized quite quickly was that these, as much as to your point, the destination was not fully defined. We knew the state of travel. We knew the direction of travel. The capabilities themselves were pretty messy. We started, for example, talking about, so what would commercial acumen mean in an organization that is very engineering focused, where there is a defined answer to a question, and we're now selling complex turnkey solutions, needed a different set of commercial skill set to what was inside the organization. So those were not clear-cut, beautifully packaged capabilities. There were actually sets of capabilities that when you look outside, the question was, so how are we going to make an impact here? How do we get an organization to practice commercial acumen differently? So maybe talk to us a little bit about the kind of approach we've used.
So in terms of wanting to approach the the capability of capability development around commercial mindset. I think there's two realizations. On the one hand, I think it's really important to understand exactly what is this capability about, what exactly do we need to develop an organization. But I think one of the most important realizations that we had is sort of the integrated nature of sort of the broad set of capabilities that we were looking at, because commercial acumen or commercial mindset was not the only one that we were looking at. And given the feedback of the benchmark study that we did quite early on in the process, where we looked at other organizations, both from a South African or African perspective, but also from a global perspective, that went through a similar, although different for their organization, but a similar transition, wanting to develop capabilities in areas where they didn't have capabilities before. And one of the important lessons was around sort of the integrated nature and wanting a capability such as commercial mindset to be almost developed in the context of, if that makes sense. So learning, yes, definitely being here, and I'm referring to learning in the context of how I'm saying it now, really a sort of formal learning and the form of learning interventions. But I think really important though is that we applied a framework that addressed learning from different perspectives, learning from interaction with people, from an exposure perspective, learning through practical experience, learning through formal interventions, and then also learning through interaction with an environment, for example.
Mark, one of the things that struck me as we were going through this program was the spread or the reach that this capability development could have in an organization. Essentially, we were working with high potentials across the business to be able to apply this commercial acumen in new settings, in a new industry, and working much, much more smartly with other partners, with investment bankers, with M&A professionals, with other commercial entities in their industry. So this was more than just, as you were referring, a training exercise where we have a defined group and a defined skill set. We were essentially doing it in a much broader context where the objective was essentially to help the organization mobilize, to help the organization reach a state of capability where they could actually start to go to market, where they could actually start to practice and put in place and implement the strategy in supported by many more people in the organization. Now, one aspect that I think you've alluded to, but I just want to cycle back to for a moment, was the digital layer to this. All of this was done in the midst of the pandemic. Just a little bit about what are kind of the digital capabilities that we had to bring into the program to really make it impactful.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's interesting because we actually started the design of the program in sort of a pre-COVID or COVID is far away type of environment. And then suddenly it hit us, obviously. And yeah, no, it was interesting. So having to do the design is almost very agile. But I think there's a couple of set of technologies and a couple of, you're looking at it as a mix of technologies that you sort of draw from, if that makes sense. So I think one of the things is, if I look at, have we unpacked the sort of the practical learning solution, so the formal learning solution, we had a blended solution in place with the digital components that were hosted on an internal system, and then a case study driven, almost like a coaching style of facilitation, where together with the audience on the call, because we did this via virtual facilitation as opposed to face-to-face facilitation, which I think for a lot of people, I mean, including myself, because COVID hit us for the first time, and it's sort of like, you know, what do we do now? But really wanting to do virtual facilitation, and I think in light of that, it's interesting because we, particularly in the evaluation of the program, one of the questions that we asked to say, listen, how did you sort of experience the virtual facilitation? And a lot of people actually liked it. From a role perspective, we had effort for the commercial acumen. Tashni was the main facilitator. She was the expert. And then I sat in as sort of a co-facilitator, because that's what you need to do in an online environment. You've got a main facilitator and a co-facilitator that looks at sort of the background processes, any chats, any sort of the administrative and technical stuff, just to make sure that, because it is quite overwhelming as a facilitator to do this in a virtual environment where you can't see people, you can't see responses. It's you need to work harder. Sometimes I say to actually get the process, the group process started. But I think worked really, really well.
Mark, perhaps if I look at organizations that as they relook at their strategies, as they're getting into new market spaces, as they have to reconsider, in some cases, retreat or exit certain areas of their business, become more future fit. word capability comes very quickly to mind. What do we need to be good at? What do we need to do different, better than our competitors, both existing competitors as well as emerging ones? What are the kind of, within that context, what are the kind of lessons you want to, or insights you want to leave with organizations that are going through this exercise, that are thinking through, what are the kind of capabilities I need to bring in? How do I bring them in at greater speed? How do I create a bigger impact beyond just the immediate program and the needs around training people and upskilling them that's facing me at the moment? What are those kinds of things that you might want to leave our audiences with?
I think if I can sort of, one thing that immediately comes to mind is that it's not just a training exercise. I think, and I'm sort of maybe discrediting my own position, but I think that's what we did really well, Sarah. So I think that's sort of the interaction between your team and our team is, how do we create that alignment between, okay, this is a training program, but at the core of it, you know, yes, there are certain skills that people need to learn, and those are some of the, if I can call it, sort of the harder skills or the more measurable or tangible skills. But at the same time, all of those skills are anchored in a certain core culture or mindset, you know. And I think that's one of the biggest realizations, and I think the things that we did right in this project is, because it's never just about, hey, you know, we need people to do X, you know, let's then train them in X, and then hopefully, you know, within the context of the organization, within the existing culture, within, you know, the leadership framework and a couple of those other factors, and let's just hope that people magically display that behavior, you know. So I think that's sort of the biggest lessons for me in terms of, you know, working with Ascent Growth in particular is, you know, how do you actually build out sort of a more complete framework where learning is definitely one of the pillars, and, you know, often organizations like learning because it's very measurable and you've got a program on the table and it looks nice and it functions nice. But I think really, really key is that it's anchored in sort of the cultural transformation and sort of a, I mean, I think we call it mindset, if I'm not mistaken. So I think that's such a good work because it goes beyond sort of culture or leadership or training or learning in sort of an isolated sense, you know. And I think that realization and having that sort of resonate in all of the things that you do from a transformation and from a roadmap perspective, I think to me that was really key. And that's what we tried to do, is constantly sort of echo that in everything that we did, you know, that there was a theme and a sort of a golden thread that runs almost like parallel or sort of underpins the program, if that makes sense.
Certainly. Mark, thank you for spending time with us this morning. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking time off your busy schedule. For those listening, this is one episode in a number that we'll be deep diving into areas of capability, into members of our team, into different aspects of our work that we don't generally get into as part of our podcast series. So thank you for listening and stay tuned for a new episode.
Hidden Growth Champions, the podcast. Join us next time for more business news, views, and insights from across the globe.